now approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everybody, welcome back to The Ruck. It's Stephen Jones from the Sunday Times. Thanks a million for listening to us, downloading us. All week one of the themes has been the superiority of Tyrell's crisps over Gary Lineker's horrible soggy Walker's crisps. Nowhere will that be shown to better effect than on Saturday at Northampton Saints when Saracens and Harlequins play in the Premier 15's final, the second Premier 15's final and a repeat of the first. Saracens will be hoping a repeat of the result. Here at Northampton Saints, and you can hear the cutters in the background, so adding a touch of authenticity. We have Alex Osterberry, the coach of Saracens, and Lottie Clapp, the captain. We also have Gary Street, the coach of Harlequins, and Rachel Burford, the queen of rugby and the captain. How many caps do you win, Rachel?
84.
Only 84 caps. Rachel Burford, the captain of Quins. First of all, Rachel, you've got it. It would seem that you've got it all to do. And are you going in as narrow underdogs?
Not really focusing on that, to be honest. We know how strong Saracens are, but we know that we're also a strong outfit. And I think it just makes it such an exciting weekend because you've got two of the best teams with the best players in the Premiership going against each other, and we've got one apiece again, how we were last season. But yeah, we're definitely excited for the opportunity, and we've got a lot of strength to build on.
It's funny, I wish you could see this on pictures, because the Harlequins contingent are one side of the room and the Saracens are the other, and there's actually a moat between with barbed wire and guard dogs. Lottie, it's easy to... Well, it's difficult to win it once, but it's said that it's even more difficult to win it twice. Are you as up for it as you were last year? And or did it say to you that you won it once?
No, I mean, you've always kind of got that feeling. You know the emotions that go through you when you lift that trophy. And so to have the opportunity to do that again, you're not gonna deny that opportunity. So we're going to go all guns blazing as we did last year, and it will be just as amazing to be able to do the same again.
Are you aware, or are you too busy preparing for games like this to grasp the sheer revolution in the game? Like, every club's just got so many young girls playing that they just in a way don't know how to handle it, and slowly but surely the profile that you get is rising. Are you aware of that, or is it something that you just got to put behind you?
No, there's definitely an awareness of it. You can kind of see it after the games, the amount of young girls who have come to watch. They've kind of got their muddy knees from playing in the morning, and they've come across to watch you in the afternoon. So it's kind of great to see that game's growing. And whereas a few years ago, it's just going to be family and friends that have come to watch. But actually now you've got those players who are interested in women's rugby as Saracen supporters and just rugby in general, and so now they're wanting to come and watch at the weekend because there's some really good rugby being played.
Rachel, you've made a big effort this year. First of all, you had a game that you really promoted, and you got the fruits of it with a tremendous crowd. But do you still feel impatient that the more these things grow, the more you realise they should grow?
No, I think, you know, it's a celebration of it. It's great seeing, as Lottie's just said there, you know, you've got people coming who are our fans now and that want to be those players that are on the pitch and are excited about watching not necessarily a women's game, just a game of rugby, and there's people that they look up to. And I think that's one of the biggest differences, that we have people coming back week after week. And actually at the at our semi-final game, there was a girl who came along, and she was like, it was her first time, and she was like, I love this, this is like, you're all my favorite. And there's two girls and two boys, and I gave them my boots, and I really upset the boys because I hadn't given it to them. So I don't think it's just girls that we're inspiring and being excited about coming down. Actually, sure, there's boys that are there, and they're engrossed by us, and they're excited about coming to watch. And I think that's a big change of our game, of how it's actually, we're not just inspiring females and young girls. It's just, we are, as rugby players, inspiring other rugby fans.
She said I was her favourite too.
I think he paid her.
Alex, where does this week stand in... A, your coaching achievements, but B, in the sort of intensity that you're feeling and the pressure that you're feeling?
No, it's obvious up there in terms of an occasion. Coming in for the first year this year, working with the group. But ultimately, it's what we're in rugby for, these big games, to watch players out on the field do what they've done well all year, and it's a culmination of their hard work. So in all honesty, it's not a great deal of pressure on me because they've made it relatively easy. Yeah. No, it's a case of, look, both teams have worked incredibly hard, so it's nothing new. It's just a challenge where you get to pit yourself against the best, and that's why we're all in the room, and that's why we'll play the game.
I remember Gary before the World Cup, which they won, saying that the intensity and the passion with which the players want to treat their careers was just off the scale. Is that what you find with your goal?
Yeah, it's building and building, and that desire to move into the echelons of being, you know, full supported athletes, it is there, and they show that and illustrate that with their performances in training and the pitch. They just want to drive the game forward, and I think there's a great deal of passion, and they're real flag bearers of standard, and it's driving it forward, it's making it better, and ultimately I think it'll get to a point where they're supported correctly. Yeah.
Okay, Gary, I was just going to say, where does this stand? I mean, it's not a World Cup final, but I bet you were more as anxious as you were in Paris all those years ago?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that it's as important for the girls now as the World Cup was then. This is, you know, the pinnacle of our club season, and, you know, it's going to be a great game. And as I've said on many occasions, we can take the brackets away for girls on Saturday. It's going to be a good game of rugby. And that's what, you know, people like Alex and myself and everybody else involved, and the players as well, have been involved, that people generally want to come and watch the game. And, you know, we've had some great crowds at the Stoop as well this year, 5,000 people coming to watch our players play, and there'll be a lot here again. And I'm really hoping that supporters on both sides sort of get on the motorway and come down and see what's going to be a great day out.
Rachel, we spoke last year when this thing was in its infancy, in the first year. What improvements and have you noticed, and in what areas in the second season?
I think when we spoke, it was talking about a lot of teams were having kind of teaming problems, seeing how things would go, you know, in terms of facilities, making sure things were in place and accessible. So I think all of those kind of underlying things have settled down now, and you are seeing the obvious one for me is just the standard of rugby across the whole board. You know, teams this year, you know, it's number one and two are sat here again this year, but we've certainly been pushed a lot harder this year, and it was always going to be a bit of touch and go who were in that top four. We had people fighting out for the last spot as well. So I think, you know, the standard of rugby is the first thing that you obviously see, and the improvement. But, you know, from a Harlequins perspective, we're seeing more people coming to watch, because it's getting that traction, it's getting that support, it's out there a lot more in the media, we're getting more games streamed, we're getting more games being talked about, and, you know, players are championing it as well. So I think there's lots of different things, but the main thing is just the actual product, and that is what's the most important thing, because that is what's going to get sponsors involved, that's what's going to get people coming down to watch. So I think, you know, from a fundamental point of view, the clubs have done tremendously well and to raise that standard. Has it got more room to go? Yes, absolutely, because, you know, we've had some games that the scoreboards have gone too far, and we want to have closer margins, because that's only going to push individuals and the sport as a whole in a better direction.
What's the next step, Alex? Don't want to become too political, but you've seen it, and I'll ask Lottie the same question in a bit. What's the next step forward in pushing the Premier 15s?
For me, it's around what Berth said there. It's in terms of getting all the infrastructures in place so that the athletes are better supported. And in turn, I think there's the challenge for all the clubs out there, ourselves included, is make sure that we make this league as competitive as possible. And the more that we support the athletes, the more that, you know, the investment that there is, whether that be time, resource, money, resource, the better the games will be and the more competitive the games will be. And ultimately, that's the challenge, because the Six Nations, obviously, Grand Slam winners, but you need competition, and we need to be building and breeding people who are competitive so that, you know, that's perennial success on international stage, but also you want Tyrrell's 15s to grow and be a perennial success so that it is financially viable and that it does drive, because ultimately the finance and resources in there will help it be better. But I think we need to real drive the infrastructure and the competition, and by that I do mean side on side, pushing each other all the way so that there's not those big margins, because they're there at the minute, as I said, teething problems. That's probably one of the teething issues. You want a place where every side, every Saturday, can go out there and, you know, it's sure. a battle, yeah. Mm. And that will ultimately prepare us for finals and also for international competition as well.
Lottie, we've just come from a press conference where you were speaking to many of our so-called rivals on the Times. But you were very strong in saying that, you know, you were asked, are you giving away a stellar career in work for this, etc., and your time management, and maybe your family lose out, but you're very strong in saying this is actually what you want to do, because people may not realise that a lot of the girls on both teams are still amateur.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there's only that small margin of players who are actually getting paid for this at the moment, and the majority of the Tyrrell's Premier 15s players do have to balance work alongside their rugby. And I suppose when you're working alongside it, you're still trying to get in all the sessions that you should be doing to improve in your rugby, so your skills and your weights and speed work, etc. But actually, you're not being able to manage that recovery as effectively, because you've got to do those sessions and then go across to work where you might be on your feet all day. So for some players, that's really difficult. I mean, Lauren Cattell, she kind of is on her feet all day, and she's had to take off the day before the final just to make sure that she's in the best possible state she can be for that Saturday game. Whereas throughout the season, she's been working on Fridays, being on her feet the whole day. So it's kind of having to kind of take into consideration that, yeah, it would be amazing to be able to just do it professionally and full time, so that you are able to put in that recovery, so that you can get the most out of your sessions.
Gary, do you have to be judicious? You can't really demand too much of people who are, well, amateur, but are also balancing other things in their lives.
Yeah, definitely, and that's the. But I think what's great at Quinn's is that drives those girls on even more. You know, some of the other girls who have the opportunity to train full time, it's great for those. But the it's raising the performance of everybody else, and everybody else is working that bit harder. You know, Rachel spoke as a players group that this season with contracts in, is that the players wanted to put more commitment in as well. And I think that's definitely evident around the club, that people are trying to make sure that isn't seen as a negative, that we've got these players who've got lots of opportunities and others haven't, that actually it's opportunities for everybody to keep improving and working as a group. So there is a balance as a coaching staff about weighing up players' ability to get there all the time. But I think that all we've seen is there's more competitiveness, more opportunities and more people training.
Rachel, I remember when we spoke last year, you said one of the things it's going to do is hasten the advent or the arrival of more players. And since you said that, I mean, you know, I've just, when you watch these games, you keep on thinking, God, who's that? I mean, it was Jessica Breach, Shauna Brown. You know, Shauna Brown, not heard much about her, saw her play once, and then I did an interview with her, and she had more maturity than, or at least it took me till I was 50 to have to be as mature. It's absolutely astonishing.
Tricked you well then.
Yeah, I was going to say. Put the wool over your eyes there.
I don't think that was Shauna Brown you interviewed.
You're talking also, about Shauna Brown, sure.
Also, since the last World Cup, the likes of Hannah Botterman. So, blimey, you know, you wouldn't like to be picking the England team now, because there's just so many of them.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting to see those types of players. And do you know what? These players have probably existed, but it's the platform that now the game is on that you're seeing them and they're coming to life. And, you know, players like Shauna Brown, Hannah Botterton, they're young in the game. And so it's, And there's plenty more of them out there. You look across, you know, our centre of excellences that we have. We've got some extremely talented players. Like, our fly half is, your fly half's just turned 21 and ours is just 18. Mm. And that's really exciting. And I think, you know, on the back of Lottie saying about how players are still balancing and yet we're still producing this sort of talent is just so exciting for the game.
But at the same time as well, they're bringing that maturity that you talk about. I mean, Zoe, she's become such a leader in our squad. I know that she's only 21, just turned 21, but at the same time, the way that she leads our backs, like units meetings, is amazing. She kind of takes that responsibility upon herself to kind of lead the team and kind of, yeah, the fact that she's so young and doing that is brilliant.
It's the exposure that those players have had now to good coaching, to the infrastructures in the club, yeah. But also to the players that they're playing with. Like, they're coming into environments. You've got Sonia Green, you've got Sonic. Our club have been there for 17 years, so these youngsters come in and almost, oh, that's how it's done. She might not have a professional contract, but she's ultimately a professional. Sure. So they're learning off the people around them. I'm sure with Burford, Quinns and some of the other players, you've just got, right, that's what it looks like, and that's helping the talent that's been out there fulfil it that bit earlier, because just that's the way it needs to be.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, Rachel, is very tempting to... I know you've got your attention totally down on in one game, and that's on Saturday, but I'm very tempted to say, what's the next steps for women? I mean, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you are, you know, people respect your opinion. What's the next step in terms of the national game and the club game?
I think in terms of the national game, you know, contracts obviously come in, which is a really big step forward. We're only 4 months into those contracts, so I think that's kind of on its way, and we're going to be looking at the sort of the fruits of that in the next couple of years, and especially going into that World Cup cycle. I think, you know, in terms of the Tyrrells game, we want to try and push this game to be as professional as it can be. We've got those foundations in place. Alex has touched about it, Gary's talked about now how can we now more support each athlete, not just the players that are contracted, but how do we support those who do have to work, or how can we supplement that in other ways? And that's ultimately where the next level needs to go, because there is no other way. We need to be able to support those players so then they can produce even more on the pitch to a greater standard, and then it will obviously have success at the national game as well.
Mm-hmm. Gary, a difficult question, but you know, when you see England play France these days, or England play New Zealand, you think, wow, but England, Wales, blimey, hope no one's going to get hurt here. Is the gap becoming difficult to manage now?
Potentially yes, but I think as we've done it, that Quinns and Saracens has done, and as we did with England, is that we can't not strive forward. I think we've gone past the tipping point now where we can't go, well, actually, let's not do more because people won't catch up. We've just got to set standards and keep building on and striving for what we can do as a maximum. And I think people will catch up. I think the market's changed. I think if we get it right at the top end, sponsors will want to come in. People will support the game. People want to come and watch Quinns and Saris now. So we have people come to watch the game, and it will sort of just keep evolving. And I think that's where it will go. And I think that's key, really. I think we can't stop where we're going.
I mean, sure. next step in the wider game for you, Alex?
It is making, like I said earlier, it's making those steps infrastructure-wise, and it is be the flag bearers of standard and real drive the game. You mentioned, you know, Wales there. They're playing our England under 18s in a development game at the whatever the Millennium Stadium is called now. A week on Tuesday, and that's showing that actually, you know, there's the desire there as well, and those players now will get exposure. The England players will get exposure. So I think we're going to find that we're, like Gary's mentioned, tipping point, but we're a real platform to explode. And I think the challenge for us and everyone involved in the game is let's make sure we maximise that explosion and we don't miss this unique opportunity. And that's down to us as coaches to ensure that we, you know, drive the standard of play. Players just keep doing. We'll keep building on what they're doing, and then in terms of the rest of all that infrastructure around it, it's a challenge for those people in place to make sure that that's as good as it can be, and let's strive for it to be even better. And that's, we're an exciting point, but let's not waste this opportunity.
Lottie, let's go back to the final. Have you rehearsed in your head what the last words you're going to say to the team?
No, I won't think about that until a lot closer to the moment, because, I don't know, there's a lot more preparation, a lot more important preparation to do before that. You kind of start having kind of things going through your head of certain ways that you want things to go, but at the same time, you've just got to treat it as a normal game. And a week before the game, I'm not thinking about what I'm saying before we go out the pitch. It's kind of more so what we're going to be doing on the pitch that I'm kind of planning in my head.
Rachel, do you have an Azure called like speech ready?
Yep, got it planned.
To a tee.
I never get the last word in anyway. Have you met half our team? No, I think you kind of build into this week about processes, a way that you want to come out and the way you want to play and ideas, but on the day is kind of a bit of emotion and like what's the first thing you've got to think about. So we know what threat we're going to have in front of us, so it's going to be a big week for us preparation wise and final words will just probably be what's needed and said
through the week as well. You kind of get the key messages that the team have decided as a whole of what you want to get out of the weekend, so actually kind of that's what you can kind of base that kind of focus on before is what you've decided throughout the week of what you want to do as one. So you can kind of base it on that as well.
Just almost finally, Gary, I'll ask Alex the same question. I see so many teams in rugby, not naming any names, that clearly overcoached. Absolutely no doubt about it. They spent too long together. They're stupefied. Their brains have gone because they had so much to observe. Is it difficult to know when to stop before a big game like this?
Yeah, I think that's always the challenge. I think that it's all about having good players and let them make decisions. I think hopefully, you know, me and Rachel have been together for a long time in our coaching journey, and Rachel's a much better inside centre than I am. And so for me to try to tell Rachel what
you
to do...
That.
So for me to try to tell Rachel what to do would be pointless anyway. We're there to create an environment that players enjoy and go and play in. That's what I'm about. And, you know, players have got to make... I hated coaches when I was a player. I used to go off and not really listen to them, and got me in trouble most of the time. So I tried to bring my experience to that. And when you've got the players, the quality we've got on our side, it's their decision on the pitch.
Alex, do you wake up the night thinking, "Oh, I must tell the girls something tomorrow"?
No. They're pretty good at coming forward with their ideas and sharing them. So yeah, there's a diplomat there.
That was well said.
So no, and just as Gary said, that. They're quality athletes, but they're also their game understanding's up there. So just give them the opportunity to express both their talent and their understanding, and they'll find solutions to hopefully all the problems that they face at the weekend.
Okay, well, if you can make Northampton Saints on Saturday, the kickoff is at 5:45, but get there early. And we just wish both sides a fantastic game that'll gild the lily of the rising of the women's game like last year's did. And I think from the media point of view, maybe in all the donkey's years I've done the job, if I said who are the best 20 players that I've ever interviewed or the most interesting, I'd say 18 of them would be girls, which is a reflection on over-managed, over-media management, etc. But I just hope that however high you fly, that you keep a certain amount of that and approachability, because that's where... these days it's massively important. So I really appreciate it. I know you've had a long media session today. So Gary, thanks for everything.
Thank you.
Rachel, Alex, Lottie, thanks a million.
Thanks.
And 2 days time from now to the big final.
approaching. Junction at platform. Passengers, airport, please stay on board. Next stop, road station.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.